Welcome to the show that has it all. This is the Betfred Super League.
What a game!
Champions, challengers, newcomers, league's faithful. Hold on tight. This is the Betfred Super League 2024. There's nothing like league. Yeah.
Took a big chunk.
Bleeding. It's bleeding.
Oh no, it's bleeding. The thing just ripped my ear off. What do you think?
Welcome along to this week's edition of Eddie and Steve-O, the podcast, here once again this year, thanks to the support of the people who sponsor everything that's great about the sport of rugby league. It's Betfred, of course. Now then, I feel like singing a few lines of the song Top of the World, because that's exactly what we are right now. Super League reigns supreme for the second year in a row. Our champions, Wigan Warriors, beat their champions, Penrith Panthers, and lifted the world crown in front of a sad crowd on Saturday. As I say, we up here are thrilled, but I get the feeling that it's not the case down under. Let's find out, shall we? Because Steve-O is our man on the ground and waiting to talk to us from his home in Sydney. Steve-O, how did Wigan's win go down with the Aussies?
It didn't go down well at all. Simple as that. My phone has never stopped ringing. Let's just say embarrassing, because quite frankly, Wigan's defence was outstanding. They only had four or five opportunities and they took them, and they deserve to win. And I will praise the Penrith club. They have not come out and complained one little bit. They've copped it on the nose. It's the fourth time that they failed to win the World Club Challenge. And that alone would think that there'd be rumblings from the Penrith camp. There wasn't.
Well, the game was full of bits and pieces of controversy. There's no doubt about that. There were one or two dubious decisions from the referee on the field, a couple of dubious forward passes, the Cruz-Leeming try. Then we got things like big calls from the referee to incorrect play the balls against Penrith, a strip which for all the world looked like one-on-one. But you're right about the defence of Wigan. Two magnificent tackles from Jay Field, then Talon May's no try in the corner as the siren sounded. Chris Kendall deliberated, and again, because of no conclusive evidence, he turned it down. It looked like it was over the line, Steve-O, but you couldn't see the ball, could you?
On the very last few seconds, I have to agree, it could have gone either way. But forevermore, and it will stick for years and years to come, the Wardle try should not have been given. A lot of people are saying, well, the video operators don't have the same technology in the UK as they have down under. That, to me, is a load of rubbish. Anybody that was at the game didn't need video replay. A lot of people are saying that the officials are getting it wrong. Well, they certainly got the Wardle try wrong. So instead of us talking across the game, remember, in Las Vegas this weekend, it'll be the start of the 2024 NRL. There's very little talk about that. It's all about referees and video referees, when we should be congratulating ourselves. A full house at Wigan. You know, we've said, a lot of people say, oh, you don't get the crowds in rugby league. You don't do this, that, and the other. I mean, look at London. They had 5,000. That's one of their biggest gates I've ever had.
And you're right, you know, 25,000 crowd. And hats off to Wigan on the field. Hats off to Wigan Club off the field as well. A fantastic, really good promotion of the game on the night. A great, great presentation. I really enjoyed every single minute of it. But the big question for me, Steve-O, is I wonder, looking at all this from Penrith's point of view and the NRL's point of view, will this put the Australians off from competing in this World Club Challenge again in the future? Because there's no doubt about it, it's massive business up here. 25,000 there, as I say, on Saturday night. Double the crowd that Penrith got for the Saints game last year. To me, the World Club Challenge should be played in this country because we love it. I don't think the Aussies do.
Well, some Aussies do. A lot of people, perhaps. Quite a lot of Aussies came up to me and said, oh, well, the reason why Wigan won is because that you play during the winter. And I said, no, we don't. We play at the same time. I said, Wigan's only had one game before they played the World Club Challenge. Oh, get away. They've been playing at their state of origin now. And that's what we should be careful about, is that the state of origin in Australia will take over, where young kids don't want to play for Australia and play in the World Cup or play in the test matches or the kangaroo tours or anything of that nature, which we had in the past. They've been brought up to say, I want to play for Queensland or I want to play for New South Wales. All right. The Maroons versus the Blues. And we've got to make sure that, and full credit to the Australian Rugby League, they're taking this new venture, two games in Las Vegas. And there's also talk about taking the World Club Challenge to Las Vegas. A lot of people thought perhaps this was going to be a one-off. It's not. It's a five-year contract. So what a golden opportunity to whoever makes it for the World Club Challenge will not only be going to America, but it will be in Las Vegas.
Do you think that it would catch on in America as much as it does catch on up here? I go back to my point, 25,000 at Wigan on Saturday night, double what they got in Australia. Do you think the Americans would take to it as much as the Brits do?
It has to start somewhere. And why not in America? Now, I know we've dabbled in America a couple of times. We've tried to make a league, in rugby league in America. Remember, we tried in Canada and that failed. But that doesn't mean to say that this will fail again.
Well, I think I'm right in saying that there's 35,000 going to this weekend's doubleheader opener for the NRL in Las Vegas. I've read that somewhere, I'm sure, and you know it will be a success as far as that's concerned. And Super League and Rugby League officials are going over, I believe, to Las Vegas to discuss this idea of bringing the World Club Challenge to Las Vegas in future years. I thought it might end up in Dubai or somewhere like that, but it seems maybe Las Vegas could be a goer. I mean, it's a hell of a step forward, isn't it?
Yeah, well, look, remember 1895. How big a step was that to create what now is classified as a professional game when they broke away from rugby union? No one thought that that would be a success. And here we are now. We're hoping that we're going to have a regular game in Las Vegas. We've got this rumor that's going around now that the NRL are going to buy Super League. If they do take control, then Super League would have to go back to winter. Well, I'm not so sure that that's a good idea, but Matty Johns made it clear that, well, all the stars from Australia, after they've finished playing down under, they can go earn a lot more money and play as guest players over in the UK. I think that's a little bit one-sided from Matty, if you think about it. But Australians are very good at throwing ideas up into the air. And let's see if they float or they're doomed to the ground.
Well, it'll be interesting. Rodri Jones, I believe, is going out, the Super League's director of commercial, head of commercial. He's going out to Las Vegas to have some talks with the NRL, but he says, you know, as far as the buyout by the NRL of Super League. He says he doesn't know anything about it. It's got nothing to do with me. He said, I got a text, like a lot of people, that said, have you seen this? And I was shocked. It's news to us. We're not entirely sure where this has come from. It's come from Matty Johns, as you rightly say.
Yeah,
and he wants the game to go back to winter, doesn't he? As you say, I mean, blimey, 1996, Matty, you know, we've moved on a bit now. The game's a summer sport.
Yeah, but he's not worried about that, Eddie. He's more worried about the fact that if the NRL do purchase Super League, they'll control it. Yeah. Well, you've got to make sure that one part of the deal doesn't automatically say that you control both countries or Europe. Let's not forget that we play down in the south of France. And we've got to be a little bit understanding about, let's stop throwing these things up into the air. Sometimes, as I said, it could float. But you've also got to look about the international progress. Now, take Cleary, for instance. He didn't have the best game, but Cleary has made it quite clear that, look, he said, I'm under contract at Penrith till 2027, but I think I'll still be fit enough, and who knows? He said, I could go and play in Super League. And I'm talking about Cleary as well, Eddie. Ian Proctor sent me a lovely photo. Would you believe 1 hour, 15 minutes after Wigan's win over Penrith? And there was one man still out on the field of play, or should I say into the stands, signing autographs and having his photo taken, and that was Mr. Cleary.
Wow.
Now,
that's fantastic.
After losing once again a World Club challenge, that man stayed out there for that amount of time so that the young kids could have their photos taken and get his autograph. That shows you the quality of that man. He didn't have his best game, and he knows it.
But he stayed out on the in the stand and signed all those autographs. That's fantastic for him. It's also, by the way, fantastic for the Wigan coach, Matty Peat, isn't it? Because he's been in the job just 2 years. Steve Owies won every trophy now that has been available to him in those 2 years. And he's such a modest man. He took it so well and was, again, full of praise for Penrith, full of praise for his staff, his players, the whole club. 5 World Club Championships now for Wigan. They've equaled the record with the Sydney Roosters in all their guises. You know, fantastic for Matt Peat. Absolutely brilliant. I'm so pleased for him.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic that you know, a young new coach is coming through. It's like a new player coming through. And yeah, like you, Eddie, I'm really, really pleased for him. And who knows? They're talking about whoever wins 2024, whoever wins it, maybe having the chance for Peat with Wigan. If they retain that and get the opportunity, remember we talked about the fact that the World Club Challenge could be in Las Vegas. Well, if you see Mr. Peat, just say when you walk off the plane, they have these one-armed bandits before you even get to customs, is for him to put a few dollars in there because he'll win a jackpot.
Yes,
and he deserves to win a jackpot as well.
Yeah, fantastic. Fantastic for Matt Peat, fantastic for Wigan, a huge boost for Super League and for Rugby League in the UK. But, you know, we mustn't get too carried away. Let's go back to Super League, Steve-O. Week 2. We've mentioned referees. We've mentioned video referees. Again, in the Super League, they're in the spotlight once more. Hull KR 22, Leeds 12. Should James Donaldson have seen red rather than yellow for a swinging arm on Oliver Gildart? Should Sam Lazone have been red carded for his high shot on Elliot Minchella? Neither were particularly malicious, but they were reckless and high. And the match review panel has brought them before the beak, handed out 3 and 2 game bans respectively. I mean, this debate, Steve-O, is going on, and it will continue on now because the Rugby Football League have changed already the criteria. It was intensified the following night when New Brown of Hull was sent off for what appeared to be no more than an accidental clash of heads with Ben Curry. Okay, Curry's eye was split, and we've seen it hundreds of times over the year. On Sky, Brian Carney and John Wilkin were incandescent with rage, dumbfounded. Carly calling red cards for this an existential threat, and by that he means for the attractiveness of the game. You know, we have said that referees have got to continue this clampdown. Already, the rules have been changed after just 2 weeks. It doesn't seem right to me.
Well, yes and no, Eddie, is the fact that just because a committee or someone in charge of any business or whatever changes the rules doesn't mean to say that it will work out A-OK. You can't just say, well, right, you've got to look at things and be perspective about it. Yes, it looked to me as though it was just a head collision, and we've had that for years and years. It's just one of those things. Look, it's a heavy contact sport. You get this. All right. He shouldn't have been sent off. We know that. But that's only one incident. And the players and the coaches, they're threatening to strike and all this sort of thing. We don't need that. We must understand that the game, not just our game, but rugby union as well and rugby league, they have to understand that people are now wanting to sue the organisation for lack of understanding, and they want the player to be protected. They've every right to do that. But just because they've made a mistake, we shouldn't all stand up and cry foul and saying, this is ridiculous, that I've never seen it. Look, we've got to try to understand. Let's come to a levelling off whereby players realise anything above the shoulder, that's it, red card. But incidents like a head-to-head clash, which happens all the time, blah, 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 you've got to ensure that we are trying to do the right thing for the future of the game.
Absolutely. John Wilkin, he did say, as far as he was concerned, it was a mismatch between protecting player welfare and reducing the number of head contacts in a game. So they were quite clear on the night. And by the sound of things, the authorities have listened to them and they've had a look at it and they've said, yes, it needs better clarification, and moving forward, that's what they're going to do. I just wonder how the 4 red and 9 yellow cards and the 16 charges after the first week, I just wonder how those players and coaches will be feeling right now, that's all.
Well, you can't have it both ways. We have to go through this system. We have to... Everything that's new takes time to settle in. I mean, I can remember the kicking rule and when they tried the four tackle rule, everyone was this is stupid, we can't have this. And then we went to 6 tackles, oh, this is getting worse, etc. and so forth. But it saved our game. And the main reason why it saved our game, because it gave the opportunity for both sides to play open rugby league, which is what the fans want to see. They don't want to see one team play the ball 35 times in succession on a muddy field. And that's why we play in the summer. We wanted to get away from that. Look, there'll always be people that will complain. You and I did it nearly every week.
You did. You complained. I was all right. I was happy to be there, me. You hinted about this possible strike action. Conversations have been continuing among Super League players over this last weekend. And do you know, the potential date which the Stars are thinking about taking action in is the Magic Weekend. If they don't get it sorted out, the inference is the players might well just hang up their boots for the weekend and say, we ain't playing. Isn't it a shame, Steve-O, that we've got all this nattering going on about all this sort of thing? When the game appears to be on a high, the crowds are up, television audiences are up, you know, Wigan have won the World Club crown, everything's buoyant But then you get all this business, and it happens every year. We mentioned it last week. It happens every single year. Clamp down on this, clamp down on that. We're going to really sort this out. And after 7 days, it's all up in the air. It's chaos. You know, the whole thing, the rule book's been thrown up in the air once again.
Well, yes and no. You've got to keep sort of getting back to the fact that, are we going to improve our game? Are we going to make it safe? Not just for the players that are playing now. I'm talking about the young kids that are coming through. In Australia, at a certain age, you've got to wear a scrum cap. Mm. You've got to wear a safety cap, because they want mums and dads to bring their young kids and play the game of rugby league. And the only way that they can help protect is by wearing that cap.
Do you ever foresee a day when everybody who plays the game at all levels, that they should all be forced or told, or it is in the rules, that they should wear head protection because of all this that's going on at the moment?
Well, it certainly won't be in our lifetime, Eddie, but I will say that is a possibility. It should be automatic at certain ages anyway, straight away. The Americans who will be turning up for Las Vegas to see the two games, they will be going, oh my goodness, they don't have protection on the head.
They will. And armour on the body as well. I remember going in 1988, Steve-O, to Milwaukee with Warrington and Wigan. It was an exhibition match. And that was one of the features of the people who were watching, that they could not believe what they were seeing. The fact that they were hitting each other like, you know, going hell for leather, and they had no protection. That was one of the big things that the American public could not understand.
But as I say, many, many years forward from now, maybe that could happen. Maybe all the players will have that.
I've just had a thought. Have you got your ticket booked? Have you got your plane ticket ready for Las Vegas? Are you going? Are you heading across there? No? You haven't got your dollars changed to US dollars? No?
I'll put it this way. Watching it on TV will be fantastic.
It will. It will. Looking forward to it.
It should be. And the one thing, I wonder how many people are going to turn up at the stadium.
I know.
There's a lot of Australians and a lot of the English from the north, especially, that are related to rugby league. They know the game. And let's hope that they all converge into Las Vegas. The biggest problem there, Eddie, is that, you know, Manly are the only team that are actually residing in Sin City. They're the only team. The other three teams have been training outside of Las Vegas. And I've been fortunate enough to go there several times. It's a great place to visit.
It's this weekend, isn't it? This weekend coming up that they're there.
It sure is. And in Australia, there's barbecues galore. Everybody's saying, come on, we want to watch this, that, and the other. And said, look, the one thing I'll give the Aussies their due is that, given half a chance and say, oh, can you smell it? Can you smell the sausages? Can you smell the steak on the barbecue? I'm having my own barbecue, and I'm in a few friends round. I hope they bring their own beers, but you never know.
And it's going to cost you a few bob this.
Yeah, look, it's a celebration, and I'm keeping fingers crossed, toes crossed, that it's a huge success.
Yeah,
because
me too.
Who knows? It might be the time to come where the World Cup will be played in Las Vegas. In Las Vegas. Wouldn't that be fantastic?
Good. How good would that be? All the razzmatazz.
And that'll be the day that England beat Australia to win the World Cup. What a dream that would be.
What a dream, indeed. And you had a dream this time last week that Penrith would win the World Club Challenge. But we won't talk about that. But what we will talk about in 7 days' time is how it has all gone down in Vegas. And I'm sure it'll be fantastic. And we'll all be watching on the television up here and down there. Steve-O, great to talk to you. Take care of yourself. Don't burn yourself on that barbecue, because I'm sure you'll be in shorts. Oh, dear. The thought of it just fills me with horror. But I'm sure you'll be in shorts and thongs, you call them down there, don't you? Flip flops. Thongs.
No, I don't wear thongs. Only Australians wear thongs. No.
All right.
Top quality sandals. Top quality sandals.
With black socks.
Yeah. Anyway, Eddie. Viva Las Vegas.
Spot on, Elvis. Good to talk to you. See you next week.